What if the state has no right to force you to help others? This provocative question lies at the heart of Robert Nozick's groundbreaking work. In a political landscape dominated by debates over how government should redistribute wealth, Nozick asks a more fundamental question. What gives the state any right to take what belongs to individuals in the first place? His answer, essentially nothing, shocked the philosophical establishment and provided intellectual ammunition for libertarian movements worldwide. While progressives champion redistribution to help the disadvantaged and conservatives often support government enforcement of traditional values, Nozick challenges both by arguing that any state action beyond protecting basic rights fundamentally violates human dignity. This isn't just abstract philosophy. It's a radical reimagining of society that continues to influence everything from tax policy to debates about healthcare, education, and the proper limits of government power. Imagine a world without government, not chaos, but a place where individuals possess natural rights and perfect freedom within moral constraints. In this state of nature, people would naturally form mutual protection associations to defend their rights, developing specialized roles and procedures for determining legitimate claims. Through what Nozick calls an invisible hand process, a dominant protective agency would naturally emerge in each geographical area. This agency wouldn't arise through conquest or design, but through individuals pursuing their own protection, similar to how complex market patterns emerge without central planning. This dominant agency still falls short of being a true state. It doesn't protect everyone in its territory, nor completely monopolize force. Some independents might still enforce their own rights. When the agency prohibits these independents from using unreliable procedures against its clients, it creates a moral dilemma. By what right can it forbid private justice? This question leads us to the heart of Nozick's moral framework. Nozick argues that rights function as side constraints on action rather than goals to be maximized, a direct challenge to utilitarianism, which might justify violating rights to prevent greater harms elsewhere. Consider this. Would you sacrifice one innocent person to save five others? While utilitarian calculations might approve, Nozick contends this misunderstands personhood. Individuals aren't resources to be used, but ends in themselves, with the capacity to shape meaningful lives according to their own vision. This capacity to formulate and pursue one's life conception grounds our rights. Slavery isn't wrong merely because it causes suffering, but because it prevents individuals from authoring their own lives. Similarly, when government takes earnings without consent, even for noble purposes, it treats your life's work as a resource rather than respecting your autonomy. This framework naturally leads to a minimal state focused on protection rather than redistribution, as any more extensive state would violate these fundamental rights by treating individuals as means to others' ends. When actions potentially cross moral boundaries, should we prohibit them or require compensation? Nozick's thinking reveals surprising complexity here. Certain boundary crossings create not just direct harm, but widespread fear. Even with guaranteed compensation, the possibility of assault generates anxiety that diminishes quality of life. While compensation might adequately cover property damage, it fails to address the psychological cost of living where violations are permitted but compensated. This distinction between private and public wrongs creates a framework for determining which actions to prohibit versus compensate. Actions creating widespread fear justify prohibition, while those affecting only directly injured parties might simply require compensation. The challenge intensifies with probability and scale. Individual actions might each present minimal harm probability, yet their combined effect creates substantial collective risk. Since no single individual bears responsibility for this collective fear, policymakers face difficult choices about which activities to permit. Nozick resolves this with his principle of compensation. Those disadvantaged by prohibitions against risky activities must themselves be compensated, creating a balanced system recognizing both individual rights and collective welfare. Most theories of distributive justice focus on patterns: equal distribution, need-based allocation, or merit rewards. Nozick rejects this approach entirely, arguing justice concerns processes, not patterns, specifically how people legitimately come to possess what they have. His entitlement theory rests on three principles: justice in acquisition, legitimate original ownership; justice in transfer, legitimate exchanges; and rectification of injustice, correcting past wrongs. A distribution is just if everyone's holdings comply with these principles. Nozick's famous Wilt Chamberlain example illustrates why pattern distributions fail. Starting with a perfectly equal distribution, if basketball star Chamberlain receives 25 cents from each ticket when a million fans voluntarily pay to watch him play, he accumulates $250,000, creating inequality. If the original distribution was just and transfers were voluntary, how can the result be unjust? This reveals a core tension. Maintaining any pattern requires continuously interfering with voluntary exchanges. Such interference effectively makes others part owners of your resources, a form of partial slavery, according to Nozick. True freedom inevitably disrupts patterns, creating distributions that reflect countless voluntary choices rather than any single principle. Nozick transforms criticism of the minimal state into a strength by positioning it as a framework for utopia that enables diverse communities to form voluntarily around different visions of the good life. Religious communities can exist alongside secular cooperatives, while traditional family-centered towns might neighbor experimental communities with alternative social arrangements. Each community represents different value trade-offs, allowing people to find environments aligned with their convictions. This vision combines libertarian freedoms with communitarian values. Individuals have liberty to choose among communities, while specific communities might maintain internal restrictions, religious prohibitions, or socialist resource-sharing requirements that would be condemned if imposed by a central state. The crucial distinction is that these restrictions are voluntarily accepted rather than coercively imposed. By allowing people to pursue their ends individually or through voluntary association, this framework respects human dignity and enables a flourishing of human diversity no single utopian vision could achieve. Nozick's vision challenges conventional political thinking by prioritizing individual rights over collective goals. His framework for a minimal state is both morally rigorous and utopian, allowing for diversity while limiting coercion, a balance few philosophers achieve. Questions persist. How do we address historical injustices affecting current distributions? What about those born with severe disadvantages? Can voluntary charity replace government safety nets? Nozick acknowledges these complexities without compromising his principles. His optimism about human potential distinguishes him from many libertarians. Rather than merely criticizing government, he offers a positive vision where freedom enables communities to reflect their deepest values. This suggests radical reforms in education, healthcare, and social services, replacing mandatory systems with voluntary alternatives that might better serve diverse needs. In today's polarized landscape, Nozick's emphasis on rights, consent, and voluntary association offers an alternative to both progressive and conservative orthodoxies. Whether we accept his conclusions or not, his exploration of liberty challenges us to reconsider the moral foundations of social organization and the proper limits of political power.